This morning I'm preaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And in this letter, I believe this is the most personal of all the letters written by the Apostle Paul, where he shares his heart more than any other of his writings. And he had talked about a thorn in the flesh in his letters, and it's not specified so that we can relate to it. I believe that we have thorns in the flesh. This is an unspecified dilemma that he got into that was life-threatening, and it was a time of despair concerning his very life that he went through, unspecified, so that you can, I believe, relate to it. And so I've chosen for my text this morning 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8, and I'll read that verse right now. It says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." You know, sometimes people think that the Christian life means that because God loves us and has saved us through faith in Christ, that we're not going to have trouble, and that's not true. In fact, this verse talks about trouble that can be so bad in your life that it leads you into despair about even being able to continue in living and doing what God wants you to do. And that's the name of my message this morning: help for times of despair in your life. I believe there are some of you that may be in a time of despair of going forward. You may have just gone through such a time of despair, or perhaps you will go through that time of despair. And it's no mistake when God leads the man of God to preach from the Word of God on this kind of subject, because it's for you and for you to help others. Because there are people that are going through hard times. I like what Dr. Jack Hiles said. He said, treat everybody kindly because everybody's having a hard time or a hard day. Help for times of despair in your life. And the Apostle Paul in this verse shares his own experience concerning his ability given by God to survive a situation, a dilemma in his life, where he despaired that he could survive it. You know, the feeling of despair concerning your ability even to be allowed to go forward to serve the Lord on earth is a very real experience in the lives of many believers. I'm thinking about Webster's 1828 dictionary, the word despair. I looked that up because that's the word used in verse 8 here of chapter 1. It says to be without, it says it means to be without hope, to give up all hope or expectation. The word despairing means giving up all hope or expectation. Have you ever been there? To despair is to lack the hope that we have. And the Bible says that hope is very important. It's something that we have concerning the future, and a favorable outcome from God concerning the future. And I'm here to testify this morning that you're gonna have times of despair in your life of your ability to keep on going and serving God in this world. In fact, the Apostle Paul writes of such a dilemma, and that's one of the things I want to talk about in this message. He was in a Euroclydon, which was a hurricane-type thing in the Mediterranean Sea. And it says in chapter 27, the book of Acts, verse 20, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." That's what despair is. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. Those people on that boat, I believe it was 276 of them or thereabouts, all those people on that boat thought, surely we're going to drown. Surely we're going to die. Surely this ship is going to go down. And all hope that we should be saved was taken away at that point, even from the Apostle Paul, who had hoped to go to Rome, who had hoped to preach the gospel in Rome, who'd hoped earlier to have offerings given to him in Rome so he could even go on to Spain and on to the very most western part of the European continent and get that gospel out. But now all that hope was taken away. He was in despair of being able to continue to go forward in his ministry. I'm saying there are going to be times in your life, or perhaps there have been, when all hope will be taken away that you can keep going. It's going to be that bad. Your trouble and your trial is going to be that bad. I'm saying this morning that you're going to have those storms or dilemmas into which you're going to come in your life, and all your hope is going to be taken away, and you're going to have times of despair. Perhaps you've even been there. I've been there in more times than one. And Paul had such times, as he describes it here in Asia, in the province of Asia, and he described it in other places as well. And I want to preach to you this morning on help for times of despair in your life personally. And I want to say, first of all, help for the failure of people in your life. The help when the failure of people in your life makes you despair of anything good happening to them and to you. And I'm going to use the example of Elijah in the Bible, because Elijah in chapter 19 of the book of 1 Kings went through such a time, and he was a prophet of God, and God did miracles through him, unlike Jeremiah or Isaiah, who did not, we do not have recorded miracles. Elijah had many recorded miracles in his life. And he had prayed for and challenged the prophets of Baal to bring fire from heaven. And Jehovah God did what Elijah said. And he brought fire from heaven. He licked up the fire, licked up the water and the sacrifice. And God demonstrated himself. And he was able to kill 450 prophets of Baal at that time, 400 other prophets of the grove. He was able to say to the people, if God be God, serve him. If Baal be God, serve him. He called them to a revival, and he saw a great demonstration of the power of God. And right after that, he had prayed for rain. They hadn't had rain for 3.5 years because God was bringing judgment down to get the people to get right with God and to turn back to God. And so after the fire fell, now he prayed for rain, and he saw the clouds gather and gather, and then a great storm of rain came, and the rain came on the land. And he said, surely this is going to bring revival to the government. The government's going to turn back to God. The people are going to turn back to God. He was so excited about it. Have you ever been disappointed with people that you would hope would turn to God and they didn't do it? In fact, with Elijah, it was so bad that not only did not the government turn back to God as he had hoped after this great demonstration of God's power and glory, but the government actually said, we're putting a hit out on Elijah. We're going to kill him. And they put a hit out on his life. And he crashed and he burned in his emotions, and he despaired now of any hope of success from anything that he had done. Have you ever had that because of the response of people in and around your life to what you believe and what you stand for? And you just despaired and felt like your life is worthless and you might as well just give it up. Well, I want to help you this morning with that feeling of despair concerning these things, and that you sometimes can feel like you are worthless, a worthless piece of trash, if you will. Even though a man like Elijah had seen God do such great things, that's how he felt. You say, well, Pastor, how do you know he felt like that? Well, we can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4. I'll read it to you. It says, these are the words of Elijah. He said, it is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I'm not better than my fathers. In other words, I'm a no good, worthless piece of trash. It's worthless for me to go on. Just take away my life. Kill me. Have you ever felt like that? Just kill me. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. And perhaps you've even been to the place where you felt like I'll take my own life. When you have such times of great disappointment from people and their response to you, and maybe they even mock you and minimize you, and you may just feel like, I might as well be dead. I'm better dead than alive. That's the way Elijah felt at this point. And it was after a great high time in his life, and I'm saying to you that there will be times of despair in your life when, because of people and their response to your testimony and what you stand for, you're going to have that happen. And Elijah is a great example of that. But I'm here to tell you this morning, there's help for you. Yeah, you may have been in despair or you felt despair, but there's help for you. And you say, well, how can I be helped? Well, how was Elijah helped? I want you to see that he was helped by God. God did help him at such a time as this. And we see it in verse 5 of chapter 19 of 1 Kings. First of all, it says that the first thing that will help you in a time of despair is to get some sleep. Sleep on it. You feel like dying? Sleep on it. You feel like giving up? Sleep on it. You're in despair and you just feel like, sleep is a blessing of God. The Bible says he gives his beloved sleep. I know there are people that struggle with insomnia. My wife struggles with that. But I always ask her, did you get a good night's sleep? And she'll tell me how much. When God gives you sleep, it's a blessing. It says in chapter 19, verse 5, and as he slept under a juniper tree, behold, then the angel touched him. He woke him up. He had been sleeping, and the angel woke him up. You know, sleeping sometimes is like turning the page on a day in your life. You ever have a bad day? Hey, you can sleep on it and turn the page and maybe have a better day. God gives us sleep to turn the page on a bad day in our life. And the angel woke him up. And, you know, the Bible says that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Great is God's faithfulness. You may be going through the winter of despair and all of your emotions are frozen. All of your hopes are being frozen. You're being discouraged. And because of that, you're showing it in your face. You're showing it in your countenance. And we might say this morning with the psalmist, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? And you could say, yeah, I'll tell you why. This happened and that happened. I'll tell you why, Pastor. You want to know why? I'll tell you why. And you can. But what does it say? God is the help of my countenance. I'll yet praise him, it says. You know, when I'm going through these times of despair, of even being able to go forward and having things go forward in my life, I'm reminded that God has brought me out of them before, and he can do it again. And he can do it for you this morning. Your countenance may be down, but it says that he is the help of your countenance. It will be lifted again. You'll be able to smile again. You'll be able to praise God again. There's light at the end of the tunnel. I had somebody in what's called endogenous depression call me in the midst of that, and I really didn't understand what a physical chemical depression was, but he had it. And he was in it, and he was suicidal. He would go buy some water and want to dive in the water and suck it up because the pain was so bad from the endogenous depression. And I said to him, it didn't help him at all because he was in endogenous depression. It didn't help his emotions at all. But I said, there's light at the end of the tunnel. The Bible says, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. See, you're going through it. It's not going to be there forever. I don't know how long it's going to last. I've been through some that are short, some that are long. I don't know how long it's going to last, but I do know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And God is with you, whether you can feel him or not. You may not feel him. He's there. He's there. And you wouldn't be in despair of going life if you could feel God being there. But I found something out, and that is that God is greater than our heart. That's what it says in the epistles of John. It says, though your heart condemn you, God is greater than your heart. God is greater than your feelings. When your feelings fail, God doesn't fail. And he says, sleep on it. And he wakes you up, and there's going to be a time when it's going to be the last sleep, and he's going to turn the page on that despairing trouble and dilemma that you're in. And that is an encouragement. And it says that the mercies of God are new every morning. Secondly, God will give you something to eat. Now, it may be the word of God you need to eat. Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It may be a sermon like this one. It may be some believer sharing with you some scripture. But he'll give you something to eat. The Bible says, I took the words of God and ate them. And we need to eat the word of God. And in this case, it was physical food. It says in 1 Kings 19:5, and an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. Now, let me ask you a question. Have there ever been such troubling time in your life that you couldn't sleep and you couldn't eat? Yeah, that happens, doesn't it? I've been there. So troubling, so despairing, couldn't eat. Couldn't sleep. No way. So it is an encouragement here that God was turning the page now that he could eat. And it may be that you can't eat because of the trouble, but you'll eat again. Amen. You'll eat again. I'm glad we're going to eat in heaven even. Amen. I don't want to leave this life and not be able to eat. Man, I want to eat. You'll be able to eat. Again, God gave us a blessing of food, and you'll be able to eat again. There are times of fasting, and there are times of eating. The Bible says, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. You know, the modern translation of the Bible, Matthew 17, like the NIV, they don't even have that verse in there. This kind goeth not out but by prayer, because Satan doesn't want that in there. Because he knows there are times of fasting. And you may feel far away from God, but God is drawing you closer to himself during these times of despair. And he's going to use this in your life for good. During this time of despair, when you're overwhelmed, when you're humbled, it's part of God's plan for your life. And Elijah was going through that, and he finally got some much-needed sleep, and he was encouraged to be able to eat. And I want to say a third thing that will help you. Don't put all your hope in the spectacular displays of God. You see, this is in 1 Kings chapter 8, I'm sorry, 1 Kings chapter 19. And I want to read that to you, verses 8 through 12, and see how Elijah had trusted the spectacular. Look at 1 Kings 19 with me, and notice what it says in verse 8. It says, "And he, Elijah, arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God." You know what that is, where Israel got the Ten Commandments. And Elijah felt like, "I am standing for the Ten Commandments. I am standing for the Word of God. But all my family, all these people around me, they have forsaken it. Ah, oh, it's so terrible." And then it says in verse 9, "He came thither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. And he said unto him, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?'" And of course, God never asked a question that he doesn't know the answer. And he said, "I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away." In other words, I'm in despair. God, doesn't anybody care like I care for your glory? And they just, God, this is just, it's despair. There's no hope. Well, when he said that, it says, and he said in verse 11, "Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord." Sounds like a tornado, doesn't it? But it says the Lord wasn't in the wind. Did you hear that? The Lord wasn't in the wind. Sometimes people get windy like windbags, and the Lord's not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. It says, "But the Lord was not in the earthquake." And after the earthquake, a fire. "But the Lord was not in the fire." And after the fire, a still, small voice. God was in that. God was in that still, small voice. And I'm saying today that Elijah, the reason why he was in such despair is he felt like God was not showing himself in a spectacular way like he'd hoped. He'd hoped for a spectacular revival that would come after the spectacular fire fell, after the spectacular rain that came down in a big torrent and ended the drought. Now he was waiting for God to do something spectacular, but God didn't do it, and therefore he was depressed and he was in great despair in his life. But you know what? God was in the still, small voice. And what'd that voice tell him? That voice told him, "Elijah, you may have your expectations of how I'm going to show myself, but I'm going to show myself to you in a still, small voice. And I'm going to tell you something. I know the government didn't respond the way you wanted it to, but I'm going to replace the government, and I'm going to raise up a guy by the name of Jehu." And if you ever read the story of Jehu, he's God's answer. He said, "I'm not only going to do that, I'm going to raise up a king of Syria by the name of Hazael." And if you ever read about Hazael, he judged Israel and the sin in the government of Israel. Hazael. And he said, "Not only that, Elijah." Remember, Elijah thought he was going to die. He wasn't going to die. God was going to take him up to heaven. Alive. He's going to smile again. By the way, Elijah's coming back. Did you know that? He's going to come back to earth. You'll see him on Fox News if you're around. Yeah, he's coming back. It didn't end the way he thought, and he's being replaced on earth by a guy by the name of Elisha, as we like to say. Elisha or Elisha. God said, "Not only that, you thought there's nothing going on in Israel. He said, I have 7,000 people like you that have not gone along with what's going on. They're fundamental believers. They've not bowed the knee to Baal. God said that in the still small voice. I remember some years ago going through a great trial. I despaired of even being able to go forward in the ministry. It was so much against me. And I never got my day in court. It seemed like I was being hit and hit and hit with everything, and finally got my chance. And I went there, and I had prayed for the chariot wheels of the Egyptians to fall off that were pursuing me. That's the way I prayed. God, let their chariot wheels fall off and let the Red Sea just come down spectacular to destroy them and save me. And I had that day in court, and it was not conclusive as far as I had to wait for the decision, and I didn't see any spectacular thing happen in my mind. And I remember that night complaining to God about it. Why not? And I remember it was like a still small voice said, don't you remember that when the trial started, the solicitor against you couldn't get there. He was a half hour, an hour late. And why? Because the tire came off his car. It was like a still small voice. And then later, the decision came in my favor. I'm just saying to you that you may feel like God is not moving heaven and earth to deliver you and doesn't see how bad it is. Don't despair. God works through that still small voice, and he can deliver you. Not only with Elijah, but help not only in the failure of people in your life, help in the storms of your life. I remember in Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, it talks about the storm that came down on the Sea of Galilee. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, talks about the storm on the Sea of Galilee, verses 22 through 25. And when that storm was going on, the disciples were out there, and they saw Jesus was asleep, and that storm of wind came down, and they were filled. Their little boat was just filled with water, and they were really in despair of getting out of that situation because Jesus wasn't waking up, and the storm, and they thought it was over. And they woke him up, and he did get up. And what did he do? The Bible says he rebuked the wind and the waves. Do you know that when you take a bowl and you slosh it around, you stop the bowl and still the water keeps sloshing? So you have to stop the water too. So he stopped the wind first, but the water was still sloshing. And then he stopped the water. He went boop, boop. They said, what kind of man is this? When I was going through a time of despair that I would be able to keep going in my ministry, total despair, there was no hope, no human hope at all. I was down in Florida. I was in my oldest daughter's house. She has five children, and they go to Sunday school, and there was a Sunday school lesson on the refrigerator, and I was sitting there in the midst of despair, and I looked back, and it said, Jesus calmed the storm. Never forgot it. And he did calm that storm. He can do it for you. I don't know what you're facing, or will face, or have faced, but he can calm it. He can calm it. And somehow that helped me. I was in despair of But how about Jesus? What kind of person is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? And then lastly, we have not only help for failure people in your life, Elijah, not only for the storms of your life, Jesus, but help in the despair of your life with the Apostle Paul right here in verse 8 through 11 of chapter 1 of 2 Corinthians. And I want you to notice here that he says in verse 7 that the reason why he went through these things is to help them out when God helps him. And the things that I go through are to help you out. Why am I preaching on this today? If I never went through any of these times of despair, I couldn't help you. And so he had to go through that, verse 7, to help others. And he said, it's another thing that these things do, verse 9, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. He does deliver, he has delivered, he will deliver you. And he says, you'll pray together. You know, my granddaughter down in Missouri, she had a friend of hers, and my granddaughter's been praying, and God's been answering her prayer. She prayed for a lady, a young lady, a girl in her school, and this lady was worshiping Satan, and she got saved through her prayer. And now this little girl, about her young sister's age, had gotten a rope and had the rope hit her in the head, and she was suffering and her loss of vision and everything, and she got a hold of us to pray. And I said to my wife and my middle daughter Mindy and me, let's pray right now. And I led in prayer, and I knew right then God heard that prayer. And the next day God delivered, and that little girl was healed. God can do that. God wants us to pray for one another. And God wants us to trust in God when it's a matter of despair above any human hope. And so God will let us go through these kinds of things so that we learn to get outside of ourselves and trust God and latch onto him. And he will get the glory for it, as happened with the Apostle Paul here. He despaired of life. You say, well, what happened when he finally did die? When he finally did die, he was ready for it. Even that's not a matter of despair, because then we wind up in a better place. I'm just saying that you will see times of despair in your life, but there's help. As Elijah got the help, as the disciples got it in the storm, and as the Apostle Paul experienced it in Acts 28 in the storm, and here in Asia. And God will not leave you or forsake you. He says he will never leave you or forsake you. I don't know how people do, though, that go through this life and they don't have Jesus Christ in their heart. They're not saved. How do you do it? I want Jesus in my boat, amen. I may go through storms, I may go through despair, but I want Jesus in my boat, because Jesus Christ is the solution. He is the hope, he is the help, he is the Savior. Thank God for Jesus. I'm listening to a Jewish guy, he doesn't believe in Jesus. I don't know how he does it. I wouldn't want to be him. I'm glad I've got the Savior. Do you? He's your help for anything of despair that you may be going through. Let's bow for prayer. I wonder, you say, Pastor, I've been through times of despair, and yet I know that